up your frozen dinners, grab your TV tray, and settle in for another episode of the Plus Platoon, your podcast for all things Disney Plus, brought to you by Disney Plus fans. Watch along with us every week as we cover all the new, the old, the good, and the bad on Disney Plus. So put down that remote, don't touch that dial, and welcome your fabulous Plus Platoon host.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We'll look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back into the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. I'm going to bring in Kate. Kate, good to see you again.
Good to see you too, brother.
Yeah, next we have got Peter. Pete, how you doing?
Hey everybody, how's it going?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. And last, certainly not least, is Steve. Steve, glad to have you with us.
Glad to be here.
Guys, if you have not already, please like, subscribe, share. We've got some fun shows coming up. And yeah, not going to want to miss August. August is going to be a lot of fun. So that being said, with it being the 4th of July this week, we decided to go to one of the National Heritage centric Disney shows, and we went with National Treasure. Features Nicolas Cage as Benjamin Gates, and essentially
Franklin Gates.
Benjamin Franklin Bill. No, not sorry, wrong show. Benjamin Franklin Pierce. Oh wait, really wrong show.
That's true. That was his name.
Yeah. But he is working with the guy from Lord of the Rings and Sean Bean. Oh, Sean Penn. Oh, it is Sean Bean, isn't it?
It is Sean Bean, yeah.
Yeah. And they are looking for the treasure of the Knights Templar. They start in a ship, which they destroy. Then they go steal the Declaration of Independence, which they destroy stuff. Then they go. There's a lot of destroying national artifacts here. then... To make a long, long, long story short, they end up finding the treasure of the Knights Templar buried under a church in New York City. And they get away with it, and everyone lives happily ever after at the end of this movie. So, for you guys, for this movie, what about this movie made it a national treasure? Pete, I'll start with you.
So to me, this is a fun, this is like the definition of a popcorn movie, right? It's not a movie you want to think too much about. You know, it's basically a treasure, you know, a treasure, a hunt for a treasure type of movie. Not that different from like an Indiana Jones or something like that, but it uses American history as part of it. There's some facts that are shared, but most of it is baloney. But it's just a fun little movie. You know, I think the good guys are interesting characters. The you know, Nicolas Cage is playing it pretty straight. But I do like his sidekick there, Riley. Also Diana Kruger. I don't remember her character's name. You know, I think they all play very charming, and it's a fun movie. It's a fun, breezy, breezy hour and 50 minutes. So, or maybe just over 2 hours, but yeah, I think it's a fun movie. What do you think, Steve?
I agree with you. Total popcorn flick. I enjoyed watching. I hadn't watched it in probably 10, 15 years. So I really enjoyed it. I really loved like sort of the puzzle aspect. That's right up my alley. So I really enjoyed that aspect of it. I remember that first coming up, because that entire thing of solving clues and figuring out where to go next. I found this time was sort of like knowing where it was going to go, not as enjoyable, because it was sort of getting predictable. I guess I'd be getting into the next part. But just overall, a great, fast-paced popcorn movie.
Yeah, I like a lot of these movies where it has just enough. You have to use your brain just enough to actually go, okay, maybe that could have happened. But yet you don't truly have to think too hard about it. there's nothing super emotional in the movie. There's nothing, there's no lesson that's trying to be taught. There's nothing where you absolutely have to have seen 14 movies before it to know what's going on. as long as you went through sixth or seventh grade social studies, you probably understand what's going on in this movie. So I enjoyed that. I enjoyed, the history aspect about it. Again, I know most of it's made up, but pulling in enough, as you said, pulling in enough truths that, sure, it could have worked. Now, like, Benjamin Franklin invented glasses and did invent glasses that had different colors and stuff. So he was the one that came up with daylight savings. And it's just throwing those little facts in gives it that just enough believability that I enjoyed it. Kate?
So I really enjoy movies like this. I feel like this was kind of a good blend of like adventure movie and a heist movie. If you know anything about me, you know that I love a good heist movie, especially a well thought out heist movie. This movie had the potential for me to really like it. It was enjoyable. I loved the comic relief from the Riley character. I think every movie needs that kind of character, especially heist movies like this. It needs that kind of funny character. I feel like it was really well cast. Although there's a part of me, I know every one of you is going to roll your eyes when you say this, but like, I kind of wonder what it would have been like if Keanu Reeves had played the main character instead of Nicolas Cage.
Got a steely declaration. Listen,
judge what you want, but Keanu Reeves in my mind can absolutely do no wrong. So
how many of the Matrix movies have you seen?
All of them.
And don't say he can do no wrong.
So I
he
really
did about on Speed 2, so you gotta give him some credit for that.
Yeah. I really like this movie. I thought it was good.
Okay. Yeah. Now, not everything about it was awesome, though. And we've got to admit that. Not everything about it. So, Steve, I'll start with you. What about this movie should have stayed buried?
You had to have some form of disbelief of some things. Like, so this treasure has not been found for hundreds of years. And all of a sudden, they're able to quickly solve it within a matter of days. That sort of bothered me. The one that I think bothered me the most was with the church. When they're looking down at the shadow, I'm going, that would totally change based on what season it is, if you know anything about science. And I'm going, and that just happens to be there exactly the same day. I felt like the villain could have been more. It's like, I'm leaving down here and I'm leaving behind. They always seem like a quick, easy way out when there was a problem. But again, it was a popcorn flick.
I definitely agree with it. Yeah, total, yeah. Simple, easy way out. I mean, stock villains. The villains didn't change. There were stock villains. For me, the two parts got a little overdone. I don't know that they really needed to bring the dad back in at the end. Enjoy him as an actor, but I'm not sure I understand why they did, because they paid him a lot of money to be in this movie, so they needed more than the first scene. But I'm not sure that character was. And then there were times I just wanted to tell Riley to shut up. Really, times I was just sick of Riley. So those were my biggest issues. Kate?
So, as I said, I love a good heist movie. And what year was this movie created?
2004.
Okay. So, my favorite heist movie of all time is Ocean's 11, which was from 2001.
Okay. So, the remake. Okay.
The remake.
Okay.
And in my opinion, this movie just doesn't hold up well. And granted, it's not this movie's fault that like
it feels dated. But when I go back and I watch Ocean's 11, to me, it doesn't feel dated, and that, which is odd. But there were times while watching this that I was like I kind of tuned out a little bit. I tried to stay engaged. I think I had just gotten done watching another movie for it, plus Platoon. And so that also was a little sometimes hard to stay engaged. So I think I expected this movie to like really hold my attention, and it just didn't. There were parts that were really good. When what's his name was shooting bullets at the Declaration of Independence before he gets on the elevator, I like wanted to curl into a ball and cry because I was like, oh God, stop it. But, you know, I liked some of the twists and turns, but it just, this movie was just kind of for me. But maybe I had high expectations because I love heist movies.
Okay. And my question then is, how much of you guys' opinion do you think is because this around, you know, at least once a year, this is on like TBS, like for like 4 weeks in a row, and you're always catching parts of it?
Yeah.
I can't say I do. I've done that, but I don't watch a lot of movies on TV that way.
I also just put two and two together in my head that I think when I started watching this movie, I thought it was The Da Vinci Code.
Very different movie.
Yes.
Very, very different movies. And I literally was like, why? There's some kind of something. And it just clicked with me that
where's
I was like,
Tom Hanks?
Oh, wait. I think I was expecting more of like the Templar, like ancient code breaking. And yes, there was some of that in this movie, but I just put literally in real time, put two and two together. I was like, oh, I was expecting this to be Da Vinci Code. And it wasn't.
That's not Da Vinci Code.
No. And Da Vinci Code is I love that book. So good. So anyway, it was just meh for me, which is a bummer because I love heist movies.
Yeah, I don't really think of this as a heist movie, even though there is a heist in the middle of it. But it's a small part of the overall movie. To me, it's a treasure hunt movie because it's mostly as the dad keeps complaining about, it's like, okay, on to the next clue. Now there's going to be another clue. And, you know, that's the whole movie. Yeah. I like at times the villain was very smart and at times he was very, very dumb. And in particular, like his turn at the beginning, I mean, I'm kind of glad they didn't draw it out until like, you know, you find out halfway through the movie that he's been a villain the whole time. But like, you know, he's obviously been working with Benjamin Gates for a while. And, you know, the guy's like, oh, I don't think we should steal the Declaration of Independence. Okay, well, obviously we got to kill you. You know, and it's like, I that doesn't make any sense to me. To me, it would be like, well, we're going to bring him, you know, I'll work on him, you know, because I need this guy to solve the clues. He's a smart guy, you know,
and not picking up on the Boston church reference that was incorrect.
Yeah. Right. And, well, yeah, like he doesn't, and he like, and he's just like, oh, I'm just going to leave you here. And so like the big climax of catching him was him pulling up in a car and getting arrested. And it's like, it's a little bit of a, you know, I guess I wanted a little bit more for a villain that was, you know, going around shooting and killing people and everything, but it's like they got him on tax fraud or something.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Pete, you had a question for us.
I mean, this was a pretty subdued Nicolas Cage performance, you know, and I don't think when you think of like the best Nicolas Cage roles, you think of Benjamin Franklin Gates, even though he played him twice. So I wanted to ask the group, what is either your favorite Nicolas Cage movie, or if it's maybe not your favorite Nicolas Cage movie, what's your favorite Nicolas Cage performance or role that he's done? So start with Steve, I guess.
Actually, I have two. So one is sort of similar. I have The Rock, which is sort of the adventure thing. But the other one is would be Raising Arizona.
That's a good one.
Good choice.
So those would be the sort of the two that stand out to me.
Yeah.
For me, let me first say that I am not a Nicolas Cage fan. He is too much Nicolas Cage gets on my nerves in a real big hurry. But I will be perfectly honest. This is my favorite Nicolas Cage part that he does because he is subdued, because he's not Nicolas Cage. So it's, I mean, are there good movies that he plays himself very well in? Yes. But his character, at least in action movies, his character is always acts the same. So it's not really, there's not really the range of acting there. So Kate,
City of Angels.
Good one.
Yeah. City of Angels. Yeah,
he's really good in that.
Yep.
Pete?
That's me.
I had to look through the list and, I'm going to give two also, but, there's this, was kind of a little bit of an odd movie, but it's called Adaptation, where he played twin screenwriters trying to adapt a movie that was basically like unadaptable. And he actually plays Charlie Kaufman, who's the writer of the movie. It's a very meta movie, but I thought he did a really good job in that, playing two brothers, and neither of them were really like crazy over the top or anything like that. But as far as crazy over the top, nothing beats Nicolas Cage in Face Off. If you want crazy over the top Cage.
Because if Nicolas Cage being crazy over the top playing John Travolta.
Yeah.
And it's
John Travolta playing crazy over the top Nicolas Cage.
Exactly. Yeah. So, okay. This is, you know,
Gina in the background, she has two, and she both very good.
Yeah. Family Man. Is that, which one's Family Man?
I think it's a comedy drama where he's,
Oh, it's like a time travel alternate. Yeah. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
It's a time travel, like an alternate reality
thing. It's all, yeah. He makes a wish. If Ta Leone ended up marrying him, how would his life be? And he's really not Nicolas Cage. He's like a family man. And then he goes back and tries to like make that life. But I love that Family Man. And the other one is Peggy Sue Got Married, which is, you know, another time travel one where she goes back in time. And I just like the time travel Nick Cage movies.
And that's a weird Nicolas Cage.
I love that one though. Cause it's like, that's how he is to me, is that crazy teenage kid.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Gina.
Bye.
All right. So it is 4th of July. So I want to know, what is your favorite, either your family's 4th of July tradition or just traditions in general? Kate, I'll start with you on this one. What's your favorite 4th of July tradition?
Yeah. So when I was a kid, it was always, we always shot off fireworks at our friend's house who had like a big field behind their house. And we would grill and drink lemonade. And I always loved, that was always one of my favorite memories. Going into adulthood, I mean, for 10 years, I was at Disney every 4th of July. So, and the 4th of July fireworks there were pretty stellar. I don't mind. I like going. Although once you've seen Disney fireworks, no other fireworks compare. So I like fireworks. I don't like it when people start shooting off fireworks at like midnight, 1 a.m. I'm over that. But and the food. I just love good cookout food and just being with family and loved ones. So that's me. Oh, and watching The Sandlot.
I can see that.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, to me it's the picnic food, the hot dogs and hamburgers and potato salad and, you know, just having kind of like you know, backyard cookout. That's what I think of the most. And of course fireworks. You know, I it's pretty rare that we don't go and see fireworks. I won't be going this year because of I'm traveling, but we actually went early. There was a one of our local towns had, you know, the, what are they called, Kenmore Day, you know, it's the name of the town. They do like Kenmore Days or whatever. And they had a big fireworks show, and it was actually a pretty good show. I was surprised. So we got our fireworks in. So I'm pretty happy, but yeah, I want to see fireworks. I want to have burgers and hot dogs. What about you, Steve?
I'm like both of you. It's the grilling picnic food. And then growing up like Kate, it was shooting off fireworks with the neighborhood kids and in the street. No, in the suburbs. And now it's usually grilling something and then hunkering down with the poor cats when fireworks go off from 9 p.m. till like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. I'm lucky. Neither of my pets, my dog or my cat, are bothered by fireworks.
Yeah, ours aren't either.
So that, and where I am, that's nice. Yeah, for me, it's number one is the fireworks. And Kate, you're absolutely right. Once you've seen Disney, you just have to go into every other fireworks display going, okay, it's not a Disney fireworks display. Okay, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's not set to music.
Oh, even the ones that are quote set to music. But, yeah. And then for me, we always get together with family over 4th of July, and it helps that my family and my wife's family are all, they're kind of right in the same area. So we'll get together, we'll shoot out fireworks that evening as a family, have homemade ice cream. Y'all's dinner menu is weak though. Cause I get, you know, we got to have to do burn ends and ribs and go the next
corn on the cob.
Oh, completely fresh corn on the cob. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I'm going out and getting the corn on the cob tomorrow.
Watermelon.
It's too early here for corn on the cob. So corn on the cob is early August here.
Yeah. So, let's face it. 4th of July. And lately, though, like last 10 years, Turner Classic Movies usually airs Music Man, Yankee Doodle Dandy, and 1776. And those three movies, I will watch anytime they are on, especially Music Man in 1776. But I will watch all three of those movies anytime they are on. So, all right, as we always do, we rate movies and shows on Cups of Pixie Dust out of 5. Kate, Cups of Pixie Dust for the first National Treasure.
2.
Ooh.
2.5.
Okay.
I'm going to give it 3.5. I've probably seen this movie over the last 20 some years, 4 or 5 times. And, you know, it's a movie I could watch every 5 years and not mind it. Not one that I would be like every time it's on, stop at it, but fun movie. So I put it at a 3.5.
I'm going with Pete. 3.5, a great popcorn flick movie. Very enjoyable.
Yeah, and I'm right there at a 3.5, guys, because to me, this is a repeat watchable. Now, again, as I'm flipping past, will I always stop at it? No. If there's nothing else on, yeah, probably I'll flip back to it. Depends on where in the movie it is, to be perfectly honest. If it's near the end, I'll be more likely to flip to it once they're in the church. But anyway, so, guys, yeah. So, overall, it's a pretty decent movie. Kate, no Disney Plus news this week. I couldn't find anything. So next week we have got WALL-E. I think everyone's seen WALL-E. Everyone loves WALL-E. It's a show that if you are a Disney fan at all, you know WALL-E. So that's what we'll be talking about next week. Got a couple more fun shows coming up, but guys, if you have any suggestions, please email us at plusplatoon@gmail.com. Message us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, anywhere. We need your ideas because there's not much coming out of Disney these days. When they were able to announce what was coming out in July back in April, and nothing has changed since then, things are kind of weak out of Disney, out of all the major right now, but especially out of Disney Plus.
Yeah.
So, guys, we have new shows coming out every Thursday on YouTube and all the major podcasting stations for Kate. Oh, whoa. Time out. We were going to talk about The Acolyte Episode 5. How did we miss this? oh, the X, and I gotta pull Gina in for this one. The easiest way to talk about this, it was Star Wars Goes Marvel.
It was.
Hey, I know you haven't seen it yet, so if you want to la la la, but I'll just drop you for a second. But real quick, I mean, basically death, and more death. The bad guy was the
only other character.
Yeah.
The guy who she was traveling with.
Yeah, which and we knew. That was predictable.
Most everybody died, and then the girls in theory switched places.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm not sure about that one.
I'm not either.
Well, I think I think the Sith, because I don't think he really has a name. I think the Sith knows their switch. I mean, he knows that that's the other one.
I can see that.
You think so? Do you think Saul? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I think he knows. I don't think Saul knows yet. I really can't imagine.
But Saul, remember, Saul has not been with Osha for a long time.
Right.
She's come back from the picture. So right. I could buy that one being more than not knowing it. The other one, I think I agree with Gina that he sort of knows.
Okay. Except if you ever pull their hair back, one has the little spiral thing, one doesn't.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I don't think it'll take that long to figure it out. But yeah, right. But definitely
happy times.
That was the cat stepping on the soundboard. Thank you, Kat.
No, this was great. This was a great episode. It totally took a loop. It was predictable because I did know that the companion guy was bad, but whatever.
Yeah, but it was, there was some great lightsabers fights.
And, yeah, good choreography. You know,
never in a million years did I think they would basically kill everybody.
Everybody.
good for them.
Spoilers alert.
You can't take that risk.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure.
Now, okay, I've got my two Star Wars canon people here. Question for you. Are Sith able to hide their true identities, where their true force feelings,
yes,
where the Jedi are not? I'm just thinking too sad to say the prequel trilogy.
Well, think of Emperor. You don't know the Emperor. Yeah, right, you don't know the Emperor.
None of them figured out that Palpatine was the Sith. So
Right.
I never figured that out until it was too late, basically. So I'm just wondering if that's, you know, if
the, yes, that's the Sith power.
That's why he may not know it's Osha, but the other guy's going to figure out that that's girl who's not Osha.
Right.
Right.
The other thing is, like, you know how they're like the lightsabers kept shorting out when they would hit the helmet or his gauntlet. So apparently that is a metal that has appeared previously in like books and cartoon and comic books and things like that. That's actually a metal that basically short circuits lightsabers. So, you know,
I love that.
I like how they didn't really explain it until you, like, after a while you figure out, oh, when they're hitting the helmet, that shorts out the lightsabers, you know. So that was kind of a cool new trick, so to speak. Though it makes you wonder why more people never did it in the 100 years after that.
Because Dave just pulled it out.
Well, that it is, in theory, it's like, so Beskar armor is incredibly rare. This is supposedly like 100 times more rare than Beskar armor.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's the rarest mineral in the Star Wars universe. Yeah.
Right. I just love that they're pulling stuff from comic books. It makes me so happy. It's like, yay, you're making things canon that weren't necessarily. So,
okay. But with how slow the first four episodes, this episode definitely took it up a notch. It'll be interesting. Hopefully they can maintain, three episodes left. Yeah. Hopefully they can maintain this level of quality versus the first four episodes. So,
but they've run out of people to kill. So,
well, but
there's more Jedi. There's more Jedi.
Also,
he's got to go back and explain. Yeah, I lost seven Jedi.
Everybody's dead.
Well, I also want to go back because you didn't see. Okay, going back to like the flashback episode when all the witches die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they don't have They don't have lightsaber marks on them.
No, I mean, they still got to find out.
That's not the Jedi, because that's what's going to make her realize that, yes, the Jedi is the way to go.
Yeah.
So,
no, I think because clearly this character has something to do with that as well, because he keeps saying to Saul, oh, you don't remember me, and
yeah,
things like that. And I don't think he's just talking about meeting them on
Coruscant,
on whatever the first planet they were on. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I think there's, you know, I think there's more, you know, there was already that intrigue that was interesting us after episode four that we talked about. But, you know, I think this episode really did take it up a notch.
Okay. Now, since we are not actually shooting a live show until after the finale is our next live show. Predictions. For me, my big prediction is, and it was telegraphed in that flashback episode, you know, the two are greater than the power of one. The sisters will come together and work together to defeat somebody, be it the dark side or the light side. I would actually love to see both sisters turn dark, just because that's something that hasn't been done in Star Wars yet.
Yeah.
So. I can also see them switching sides.
I do, so too.
May goes good, Osha goes bad.
One always has to be evil. This is Star Wars after all. So one will be evil, one will be good. But I agree with you, Steve. One's going to switch.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if the Sith like tells Osha, who's with him about now,
yeah,
I like Derek's what actually idea. Happened, she might possibly like turn on the Jedi. Yeah,
yeah.
I'd give more odds to Derek's prediction, though.
I mean, the whole at some point the sisters will work together to defeat somebody, and then they may split. But the whole two are stronger than one.
They did say that in that episode.
Telegraphed. And I'm gonna bet that the witch who didn't really like how things were being run comes back. I bet she wasn't killed.
Is she the big baddie?
Well, is she the puppet master?
Oh,
it's entirely possible.
Could be Coraline.
I don't think this guy's is the big leader.
No, I don't think it is.
No.
So
maybe it is Cora.
Okay,
Mama Cora. Anyway,
okay, so we'll bring Kate back in. Kate, I know you have no idea on what's going on, but in 3 weeks when we are back live again, you will know what's going on.
I will.
Your homework.
Yep.
So, guys, that being said, for Gina, Pete, Steve, and Kate, we will see. We got two shows coming up next week. We've got WALL-E, and then the week after that, we've got The Love Bug, and then we will be back live in 3 weeks with the Acolyte finale. So we will see everyone then. Bye, guys.
Bye. Hey.
Thanks for watching this week's episode of The Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcasts and leave those 5-star reviews, as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel, where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram @PlusPlatoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode, because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.